Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Sean and I chat about a wide range of sectors, and I'm sure we're going to be bouncing around a little bit here. But Sean, what I want to start with is what you've been writing a lot about, what a lot of people have their eyes on. It's the recent inflation data. We've already talked a lot about the data and how, quite frankly, inflation is exploding when you look at the data, the underlying data. But then everyone's saying, oh, is it transitory? Is it not transitory? I still say we won't know until, well, a couple of years or a year down the road, but everyone has their guesses. I do want to talk about the whole inflation picture when it comes to commodities and the recent broad-based pullback in commodities. Today is another day when we're seeing base metals especially drop. Now, the one standout in terms of commodities is oil. We will get into that, but Sean, when it comes to the inflation picture and this current pullback in commodities, is that the pullback in commodities throwing any maybe water on that whole inflation fire?
Well, Wall Street certainly thinks so. I just happen to think Wall Street's wrong. They have good reason to believe so because we didn't see inflation for 20 or 30 years. So they aren't used to it. They aren't used to dealing with that environment. So because they think any like variance from the norm is just going to go back to the norm, they think the norm is no inflation. That's what they believe. They're also told that by the Fed. But the Fed has 28 billion reasons to say that. And that is, in order to service the U.S. debt, which is right now $28 trillion or something insane, in order to service that, they need to keep interest rates low. Otherwise, the amount we are going to pay to service the debt is just going to climb beyond everything. So I think the Fed has a very good reason to talk this game to keep interest rates, or to keep their justification for not raising interest rates, as long as possible. They do not want to raise. And we have seen prices in a whole bunch of things drop. We saw lumber drop. We saw copper drop. We've seen, for example, I just put a chart of this on my Twitter feed. We've seen the index of consumer plans to buy homes, that's fallen through the floor. But the reason people have given up home shopping is because you can't buy them. You know, I mean, prices are going sky high. So I believe that nothing rises in a straight line. We have zigs, we have zags. We're seeing a short-term pullback. And the short-term pullback in commodities is helped by China dumping a lot of metal into the market. China has a very good reason to do that. Just to speak about copper, their copper imports are going through the roof. They imported more copper at the beginning of this year than Germany imports all year. I mean, it's just insane the amount of like metal they need. So right now, this may sound counterintuitive to think that, well, they need copper, so they're going to sell copper in the market. But what they're trying to do is shake out the bulls and get into a trend where price will go down and then they'll buy up a lot of it. That's what the Chinese are trying to do right now. So my view, this is short term. As you said, we'll only find out longer term in the big picture, but we've had consumer prices surprised to the upside for 5 months in a row. We just had producer prices come out with and like the rise in that was nuts. The rise of wholesale inflation over the past month, so year over year, right? That rose to 6.6%. That's the highest since they actually redid the index back in 2009. So that's how high, and that's, yes, that's wholesale inflation, that's producer inflation, but at some point they're going to pass it through. So we are having inflation now. There's more stuff feeding into the system to have more inflation later. It can cool, it can heat up again. I'm not saying it's going in a straight line, but definitely the trend is more inflation. And I think people should adjust their portfolios to just prepare for that.
Fair enough, Sean. And you are right. The trend is up. And let's see just how high these numbers either can go or withstand as well. What about precious metals, though? Precious metals continue to be fairly choppy, I guess. Gold has had a nice rebound, but now it's faded from that 1900 level. In an inflation environment, you would expect precious metals to do well, but there's been some arguments on that whole discussion. What do you think about the setup in precious metals and that current pullback that we're seeing, especially in gold?
Well, sure. We saw precious metals peak. Well, I'm just speaking about gold generally, but you can draw your inference to what you want. We saw them peak in August of last year, went into a long correction. Finally, that bottomed in March, and we had a breakout from the downtrend in May. You know, now we're starting to see pullback see a pullback in that breakout. But again, nothing goes in a straight line. I see support very close by. I actually made a new recommendation to my gold and silver trader subscribers because it was something that I wanted to buy that we trade in and out of, and we tend to make money in it. And I think now is a great time to buy it. You know, I mean, gold is not the most leveraged investment to inflation. That would be energy. But nonetheless, it's well known as a store of value in inflationary times. It's going to get more attention. Silver will probably get just as much. And, you know, I think there's some real potential upside in precious metals. For a while, we were taking gains, selling lots of positions. We actually don't have big gold positions at this time. But I am going to be adding more to it, more gold, more silver, just because I think we had that long correction and now we're breaking out. So now's the time to shift back into bull mode.
Well, Sean, you bring up an interesting point in this discussion on inflation and what the Fed can do and how that ties into the precious metals. Precious metals thrive in a negative real rate environment, as most people are aware of. And so one of the thoughts I've had is, you know, if inflation keeps running hotter while the rates are kept at a low level, because as you stated, the Fed doesn't want the rates to go too high or the debt will become unserviceable. So they're trying to jawbone the markets into position. So if they're able to keep rates in a range, but we see inflation keep rising, real rates are going to get more negative. Do you think that, I mean, shouldn't that bode well for the precious metals?
Well, that should, because it has in the past. I mean, we like to learn from history. And as you said, usually negative real rates are good for gold. So, yeah, that's one of the other things that I'm watching, too, watching it with interest. We'll see what happens. We may have a disconnect between the reality that the Fed is willing to acknowledge and the reality that people face every day when they go to the grocery store, when they go to the gas pump, when they go to buy a car, when the rent comes due. You know, I mean, I think for consumers anyway, there's going to be more inflation. Now, on the low end, there may be wage inflation, which is good. Certainly lower end wages were held way too low for too long. We need those people to have more money. They spend every cent. That is good for the economy. It's also inflationary. But we are going to have more of that. There's also something else coming for the lower income people, which is that the U.S. government is going to start mailing out monthly child care income credits, you know? I mean, monthly checks. You know those people are going to spend everything that they get on that. So again, that's going to boost the economy, but also boost inflation. There's a bunch of things in the system. That's the things people have to realize. I mean, when they see the price of copper go down, for some reason, Wall Street says, okay, that's it. No, that isn't it. So many different inputs are building up in the system that it's really going to be big on the other side. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have Weimar Republic type inflation. I'm not talking about people walking around with money in wheelbarrows and stuff like that, but certainly higher inflation than you've seen in the last 20 or 30 years. That's what I'm looking for, and I think that's what's coming.
Well, Sean, I'm glad you don't think we're going to have wheelbarrows full of money that we're pushing around. Mm. That's good news. But to the point you're making, there's a lot of factors that play into inflation. You mentioned the government checks going out to people, which is increasing the velocity of money, something we didn't see with past QE. You know, the money is landing in the hands of people and in the hands of small businesses with the payment protection plan. You've got the factors of the commodities. You've got a dollar that looks like it could still go weaker, medium to longer term. But you brought up something at the very beginning of this interview, the energy space and how that factors into inflation. And we've seen some commodities pulled back across the board the last couple of weeks, but oil has remained high. Oil is about $71. That's an input cost that affects everything from freight to shipping to how retail goods get to customers to how food gets to the end user to how mining companies pull out. It's an input cost that affects everything. It's really a tax on everything, and it also affects discretionary income. So couldn't the high energy costs be another factor driving the inflation narrative? And what do you see around this sector?
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, especially since the beginning of this month, when we saw oil prices break over recent overhead highs, and they've just been going higher, cranking up. And I have to emphasize again, nothing is more leveraged to inflation than energy costs, because it's an input, you know, so as we get higher energy costs, we see inflation go higher, but also it like works out the other end. I mean, people have more money because they get more wages, so they are going to buy the gasoline, the fuel they need, and also an economy that's in a higher level, and we're seeing our economy pick up its pace. Well, that just means more energy demand. And also, we've seen OPEC and OPEC Plus. OPEC Plus is the original cartel plus a gang of ne'er-do-wells led by Russia. So those groups, or that group, is amazingly being very, very responsible in how little they raise their production and like how little they cheat on their quotas. So that's also raising oil prices as well. And yeah, the higher oil prices go, the more things are going to cost, because energy is in everything. And so people just have to be aware of that and prepared for it. But the good news is, you know, there's some nice oil companies out there that are still off their highs. And now you just had oil hit its highest price in 3 years. You know, I mean, it's not a bad time to pick them up, especially because I think oil is going to at least $80 per barrel this summer. That's my target anyway.
Sean, what kind of an environment are we in right now where we're seeing volatility more in commodities and markets broadly are slow, kind of boring, but commodities are the ones that are moving so much? We don't typically see that much volatility in commodities when everything else is, again, relatively slow outside of cryptos, but that's a whole other conversation. What do you take away from that environment?
Yeah, well, it is true that we've seen the FANG stocks, you know, like Amazon and like all those stocks trade in ranges for the longest time. And so I guess that's what you mean by the boring part, right? I mean, that's boring that all the headline stocks, the tentpole stocks that everyone used to watch all the time, they've been range bound. They aren't going anywhere. Now we're seeing commodities move. We're seeing the companies that are leveraged to commodities move. So certainly my part of the market is but I can see what you mean. And I don't know if like this may be part of the shift from growth to value. And that's one thing people have to understand is in an inflationary environment, the market usually shifts from growth stocks to value stocks. Energy stocks tend to be value stocks, as do mining stocks. And the thing about growth stocks is they promise you money in the future. You know, down the road, we'll be making money. That'll be great. And so that's why you want to buy us now, because we're growing so big, so fast. Value stocks give you your money now. And in an inflationary environment, you want your money now. You don't care about it in the future. In the future, it's going to be worth less, right? Maybe that is part of what's happening here. I'm not really sure. Certainly, it seems like Wall Street has yet to adjust to this, because I turn on the business news, someone's still talking about some great tech thing that's going to happen. So, all right, maybe. But certainly, if you're looking for things that are doing well, that have traction, that are in uptrends, you should definitely be looking at the natural resource stocks. They look very good right now.
Sean, is there one area then that you're overly enthused about, that you're taking more aggressive positions right now rather than just watching these sectors and maybe waiting for that bounce?
Well, that's a good question. In Gold and Silver Trader, to talk about one of our portfolios, we had a nice balance for a while. We had both industrial metals and rare earths, things that, you know, are generally leveraged to a economic upswing. And we also had precious metals. And usually when one was doing better, the other wouldn't be doing so good, and stuff like that. But it actually worked out pretty well. Then we started taking gains when things really started, like, topping out. One thing that I am in is that's kind of counterintuitive would be cannabis, because those tend to be growth stocks, right? But, I mean, of all the growth stocks, those have the most potential that I see. And also the fact that it's illegal. The thing that's going to happen when it finally becomes legal is you're going to see big companies that have not been able to buy these stocks in a long time just come in and say, we want in on this space. So I know there's going to be a gold rush coming in the green space sooner rather than later. So I'm also in that as well. But basically, you know, I'm just kind of rotating around the natural resource space right now. I also like cybersecurity because people keep getting hacked. I also like robots because one thing about wages going up, you know, with every dollar that wages go up, it gives business that much more incentive to replace people with robots, right? So that's there's a whole bunch of megatrends that I follow in my monthly newsletter, Wealth Megatrends, and they've really been working out for us, knock on wood, so far this year. We'll have to see how things go. We are in an interesting time. It could be exciting. The whole point of investing right now, though, or at least this is the way I look at it, is inflation is going to pick your pocket every day from now on out. So your job is to inflate your wealth faster than inflation picks your pocket. And so that's the kind of stocks that I'm trying to get people into, ones that I think are leveraged to inflation that will do well in this environment. And if we have a pullback now, like we're having now, that's the kind of buying opportunities that we look for.
All right. Hey, Sean, great chatting with you. As always, focused a bit more on inflation and really commodities here, but commodities are, at least right now, one of the more interesting sectors because of their volatility. Let's see where the next bottom is, because remember, big picture, look, these commodities have just been screaming higher and a pullback definitely was necessary. Sean, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Sounds great. Talk to you later.